shall we begin?
Pursuant to the provisions of Senate Resolution 483, the managers for the House of Representatives have 24 hours to make the presentation of their case. The Senate will now hear you.
President Trump withheld hundreds of millions of dollars in military aid to a strategic partner at war with Russia to secure foreign help with his reelection. In other words, to cheat.
The evidence shows that President Trump unlawfully withheld military assistance.
He raised the so-called CrowdStrike conspiracy theory that Ukraine, not Russia, had interfered in the 2016 election.
President Trump was publicly signaling his interest in the investigations.
Rudolph Giuliani is a cold-blooded political operative for President Trump's re-election campaign.
A new poll shows not only are Americans sharply divided when it comes to whether President Trump should be removed from office, but a sizable percentage, 14%, say they don't know enough to have an opinion.
At the end of the day, I believe without question the President of the United States will be acquitted.
Adam Schiff continues to make the same arguments over and over again. For any of you that's covered this in the House, today was not a new day. It was just a repeat and a repeat and a repeat of the same things that he has been saying for a long time.
When it comes to Donald Trump, they're willing to destroy the institution of the office in the name of getting him.
I'd love to go. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be beautiful? I don't know. I'd sort of love to sit right in the front row and stare at their corrupt faces. I'd love to do it.
It's The Takeaway. I'm Arun Venugopal in for Tanzina Vega. House Democrats are laying out their impeachment case against President Donald Trump in the Senate. Led by Representative Adam Schiff, the House managers presented aspects of their impeachment case late into Wednesday night, accusing the president of using his power to pressure the Ukrainian government into helping him cheat his way to re-election. The president's defense team will have to wait until the Democrats wrap up their opening statements to outline their case against impeachment. Only after both sides finish their arguments and senators ask written questions will lawmakers be able to vote on whether to subpoena witnesses. For more on this, we're joined by Jennifer Habercorn, who covers Congress for the LA Times, and Max Kuttner, journalist covering impeachment, the Russia probes, the FBI, and the Justice Department. Thanks to you both for being on the program.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Max, let's start with you. House managers are laying out their opening arguments without any challenge from other senators or from the White House legal team. Is there anything fundamentally different between what they're arguing this week versus what we heard during the impeachment hearings in the House?
Arun, the House process obviously was working towards impeachment. This now in the Senate, this is working towards removing Trump from office. So this is a lot more consequential. And what we heard yesterday from the House managers, that was a lot of what we did already hear and what was in the impeachment investigation report. However, if this process continues, if the Democrats are allowed to call witnesses, review new documents, then this will be a much newer process. Also, starting as late as Saturday, we will be hearing from Trump's legal team, and that we did not get during the House process.
Jennifer, when will senators and Trump's lawyers get a chance to respond?
Well, as Max said, Trump's lawyers got a chance to start their case on Saturday, and they'll have the same as the House managers, 24 hours over 3 days. The White House has already signaled that they're probably not going to use all of that time. And we saw some pushback when the Senate moved from this 2-day schedule to a 3-day schedule. And then senators will get 16 hours to ask written questions. They can ask questions of either side, but their question has to be written down and go through the Chief Justice to the attorneys on either side.
So, Jennifer, you said they may not use all their time. Is the idea here that they will likely just want to be over and done with it as soon as possible?
I'm not sure if it's as soon as possible, but I was talking to some Republican senators yesterday who indicated that they don't think the White House would need all of that time to present their case.
Max, we're still waiting to hear opening arguments from the president's legal team, but we do have a sense of what their case will look like based on a trial memo that they filed. What stood out to you in that memo?
So they are expected to make procedural arguments. They're going to say the House process was biased. So far, this whole impeachment process has been structurally deficient. That's the wording that they used. Then they're expected to make legal arguments. They'll say these articles do not violate the law. They don't stand up to the the bar of high crimes and misdemeanors. And then they're expected to make political arguments as well. In the memo, they said that the Democrats are, quote, held hostage by a radical left wing that has foisted on their party an agenda of socialism. That sounds more like the kind of thing we'd hear at a Trump rally and not so much in a legal document. So I do think, especially depending on which of his legal team members are presenting these arguments, we are going to hear a bit of that. We are going to hear this being used as a time to promote Trump in maybe a more political way than a legal way. But mainly they're going to attack these two articles and say that they don't stand up. This isn't what the framers of the Constitution intended.
Now, one of the members of his legal team, Alan Dershowitz, has been pushing the argument that the president needs to be charged with an actual crime to be impeached. But most constitutional scholars don't agree with that, correct?
And what's interesting about that is that seems to be attacking the process, the legality of this whole process, and less so the actual facts here. So that is less disputing what happened. It's more just disputing that we should be even having this argument to begin with.
Now, let's hear from Chief Justice John Roberts, who's presiding over the trial in the Senate. He had some pointed words for House impeachment managers, as well as the president's defense team.
I think it is appropriate at this point for me to admonish both the House managers and the President's counsel in equal terms to remember that they are addressing the world's greatest deliberative body. One reason it has earned that title is because its members avoid speaking in a manner and using language that is not conducive to civil discourse.
The world's greatest deliberative body, nothing like a little triumphalism at a time of severe dysfunction in Congress. Jennifer, why did Roberts feel the need to speak out there?
So that was on Tuesday night. It was getting pretty late at that point. I think it was about 1 a.m. And lawyers on both sides were getting pretty testy. Jerry Nadler said that the Senate was engaged in a cover-up by not participating in the witness subpoena process. That really rankled Republican senators. They told me yesterday that they were really offended by that comment. But the president's lawyers responded as well, kind of going after Nadler. So there was a bit of back and forth between them. Obviously, at that point at the trial, the lawyers were going up one after the other. So we are seeing both sides, unlike right now when we really have the presentation from House Democrats 3 days in a row, and then Trump's lawyers 3 days in a row. So that happened, and the Chief Justice made this admonishment. And frankly, a lot of senators said this was a good idea from the Chief Justice to try to tamp down the temperature. And in fact, yesterday, the tone was a lot more somber. And Adam Schiff, the lead House impeachment manager, started the day yesterday by, really kind of laying it on thick for senators, thanking them for their time and their patience the day before. So perhaps they're getting closer to that world's greatest deliberative body.
Uh-huh. Well, so far, Jennifer, the Senate hasn't voted to allow witnesses to participate in a trial, but the impeachment managers have been playing video clips of several key witnesses who were part of the House inquiry, like Gordon Sondland and Fiona Hill. Is re-airing those clips helpful to the Democratic strategy here?
I think it may be. I've been in the chamber, in the press gallery, watching a lot of the arguments yesterday. And I mean, senators were watching the video shown on two television screens in the Senate. House Democrats might not be able to get those witnesses to testify live in front of the Senate or even in a new deposition, but they're making those witnesses' testimony known to senators, and that could have an effect. Senators are in that chamber for long hours listening to Adam Schiff and Jerry Nadler and the other House Democrats talk, but they're seeing the testimony from those witnesses as well.
Max, there was speculation this week that a witness deal, that is the testimony of Hunter Biden, son of Vice President Joe Biden, for someone like former National Security Advisor John Bolton. Democrats shot down those rumors yesterday. Where does that leave the likelihood of testimony from officials like John Bolton?
Well, I don't think that much has changed in the past 24 or 48 hours since the senators initially said that they were not going to allow the body to subpoena these new witnesses, subpoena for documents. They are going to be considering those motions to do so again after these two 24-hour periods, after the arguments, that is. So if anything changes, then there will be that opportunity to call those witnesses. A lot of Republicans were speaking to reporters yesterday saying that that would only drag out the process. And so it seems unlikely that that will happen. And certainly Democrats yesterday were saying that, as Adam Schiff put it, this isn't a fantasy football trade. There's not going to be this sort of witness trade. And so without any sort of leverage or a trade-off, I can't imagine Republicans changing their minds from what we found the other day.
Jennifer, the rules governing impeachment proceedings are pretty outdated. Senators are supposed to remain in the chambers for the entirety of the arguments in the trial. Have they actually been following these rules?
Pretty much, yes. We've seen a lot of senators kind of get fidgety and antsy, and they go stand up in the back of the chamber, or they're passing notes with their colleagues or getting candy. But yeah, the rules are pretty outdated. They can only have milk or water on their desk, no coffee. There were actually two senators that I spotted with milk, which I was not really expecting. Senator Tom Cotton and Senator Richard Burr. You know, we saw Dianne Feinstein left about an hour early yesterday. Her spokesman said that she wasn't feeling well, but for the most part, senators have been in there. But the breaks are kind of increasing as we get later into the day.
Now, it is easy to feel entirely cynical about this process. On the inside, does it feel like that, or does it feel like people are genuinely grappling with these arguments and trying to do right by Congress?
You know, a little bit of both. And I've asked some senators that, you know, they repeatedly said, you know, this is a really somber process. This is my constitutional duty. But at the same time, we're leading toward a conclusion that seems pretty well spelled out. I mean, there's no one who thinks the president is going to get removed from office. There are, you know, there's a little more thinking that we could actually get witnesses, but that seems pretty, a pretty high bar as well. So it does, there is a bit of a feeling that the, you know, die has been cast and this was a fait accompli, and senators are just going through the motions.
Right.
So it's definitely not as clear as, you know, that firm constitutional mission that some senators are making out to be.
Thank you. Jennifer Habercorn covers Congress for the LA Times. Max Kuttner is a journalist covering impeachment, the Russia probes, the FBI, and the Justice Department. Jennifer, Max, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.